This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. Well, hello there. Welcome to the Lotus Effect. This is episode 203, and it is called The Joy of Trolling.
And I'm sure there will be plenty of joy in the trolling department today.
Yes, based on the current members of our troll room, yes, I'd say that is the case. And yes, it is episode 203 of The Lotus Effect, which we've said is, and the show is made up, the content doesn't matter, and I'm Phone Boy.
What the foul, filth, foul, foul, filth, 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 foul, foul, and you're filth and foul.
Wow, there's someone who's actually listened to The Lotus Effect, I assure you, because I'm Phoenix, and
I'm just here for the swearing.
Well, you'll get a lot of it here, especially if it comes out of your gob. Although I do.
Are you insinuating something, sir?
No. Yes. But anyway, but our listeners already know that, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or, I don't know, just clicking on the damn website, maybe coming into LotusEffect.live and listening, right, and joining us in the troll room, right?
Sir Bemrose has a good point. Profane and profane accessories.
That's right. Now, I don't know. Yeah, I'm freaking out, honey. I don't know. Are we?
Let's freak out.
Yeah, let's freak out. Oh, is that my button to push?
Yes.
Oh, it is. That's right.
What is this? A freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing.
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
And clearly I'm freaking out because I forgot it was my turn to push the button.
It's my turn to drive.
Yes.
It is your turn to drive.
Yes.
The show.
It's because it's my opening. And the Lotus is clearly affecting me very differently today, and it affects everyone differently every time. So however and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we'd love to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay.
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, we kind of jack off on the mic here, but we actually do put some time into this show. And so we recognize the value for value model, which is not just going to be, you know, it's not just how you appreciate your podcast. It's probably going to be how you appreciate, you know, anything
life in general.
Yeah, that's, I think you have to pretty much look at it that way, right?
And that's what I've been telling people of recent is,
yeah,
you know, when you discuss the value of something or the price of something, because we all know the price of everything is out of control.
Yes.
But is it worth the money you're paying? And can you honestly say that it is? If you can't, do you really need it?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that's, so you know, we have to look at everything in a value for value, right? It's time, you know, does it, you know, time, talent, and treasure. And we look at it in terms of, you know, how much, you know, again, like all of those things, you should look at everything that you have, and any decision you make should be kind of looked at it maybe in that way, right? As far as this podcast goes, yeah, you know, I mean, we like money though, but that's not exactly what we're about here. So, if you want to do that anyway, you can go to lotuseffect.show and click on that green We Like Money button and send us some cash via PayPal or Cash App.
And I can tell you that Weirdo, he sent us 333 at #$TheLotusEffect33.
So, oh, you're the executive producer.
That's right. We appreciate him very much for doing that. And it was funny because I'm on the Mac while we're pre-coming, and I notice that I've got a Cash App notification, and I go look, and I thought it might have been, you know, my Mac just catching up, but nope, sure enough, live and in person while we're pre-coming all over this motherfucker, Weirdo decided to slip slide on some of that goodness and throw some value at us at a 333. So we thank you, sir.
Yes, we appreciate that. And you know, we know shit's all emotional right now, and money is, you know, money is tight. Yeah, I mean, we
especially if you're a Democrat.
Yeah, well, anyway, we know you may not have the scratch to send us your send us any cash. That's totally cool. But we do want to make sure that the investment we make in putting this show together is actually valuable. And honestly, the thing we find the most valuable is just letting us know you're listening. Send back the ACK. Right. It only takes a minute or two. And here's how you can do that. Now, you can, of course, you should subscribe to this podcast in your favorite
app. Yes, we definitely love when you subscribe because it helps to boost our numbers. And we might actually start showing up on the leaderboard sometime.
Who knows? But you should be able to find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you're a curmudgeon-y person that needs an RSS feed, we got that too.
Rate, review, you know, comment, I don't know, like just interact with us. Let us know that you're there. However, whatever.
But I love the fact. So we have someone new in the chat. Okay. Codeman420, that happens to be my oldest son, for reals. He actually is sending the act back by getting into the chat. And it was funny because that was the story I was telling about the syntax error of how to spell words. They're hard. Shouldn't use words. We all know this, but if you must use words, they should be thelotuseffect.live, and that will bring you to all the ways that you can absorb this and send the ACK back. And that does include hopping on
Mastodon!
Yeah, you can. You forgot to tell them about the shop, honey. We forgot to talk about.
No. That's your job.
Well, you kind of took over, and I missed that line in the script, but yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, if you want to show the world that you're a degenerate pedal head, wait, that was a stutter, and that you listen and experience the Lotus Effect in your own way, then feel free to go over to lotuseffect.shop. We have brand smeared all of our merchandise with the feces of logo and such that we have here at the Lotus brand, and we love it, and we love when you go over and show us support by purchasing stuff.
Yeah,
we don't really get a lot of money from it, but we love the exposure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, we can buy our brand. We can buy our brand feces smeared on things. All right. Well, anyway, to go back to the massive dong, right? If you want to reach out to us, I'm phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. Phoenix is PHEONIX at lotuseffect.social. You can also send us an email at I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. Or if you're Chris Abraham and you find that too offensive, you can just send it to phoneboy at lotuseffect.show. That works too.
We love Chris Abraham. No shade.
Yeah. And honestly, the other thing you can do, you could be like Codeman here and have joined us in the chat. So, you can list, you can get all the details on listening and participating live. When we're live on Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, doing either Rideshare Radio, or 2.5 Bens, which is the...
unlike last night, where Rideshare Radio was Phoenix staying awake long enough in the green room after being up like 36 hours. But that's a whole nother story for a different segment.
That's right. So, but either way, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, right? We're doing one of those two things. Or you can come during the Lotus Effect, which starts at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central on Saturdays, and then followed by Studio 33, our music request show.
We know that's the only reason you really come is for Studio 33.
Yeah, well... Either way, you can get all the details on lotuseffect.live. You can also call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, Google Voice is going to answer. Okay, and they're going to turn whatever the fuck you say into gibberish that they'll probably use to feed their AIs and produce other gibberish, right? But sometimes there's some funny shit that comes out of that, and we might turn it into a show title, right? And then anything that can, any of the stupid shit that you all say or that I say that you put in the, chat, yeah, it might become a show title. It's kind of where we come up with that stuff. So, but now why the hell are you going to call or text 253-237-3321. Well, of course, you can give us feedback. You can use it to make requests of the or demands of the DJ during Rideshare Radio Studio 33. The other thing you can do is weigh in on our topic for the week, which this week is what brings you joy. And I think that's it. I think that's an important question for us to be for every person listening to be able to answer. Right? What brings you joy? Because I don't feel like we do enough of that, and we don't do enough joyous things in our lives, and I think we could all do with some more joy personally.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's the weigh-in topic for this week, and I think that, but that's pretty much why you come to call or text that number, right? But I think we've explained ourselves now, haven't we?
Well, we might want to also let the pedal heads know that this week being, you know, what brings you joy, next week we want to know what your favorite Thanksgiving pie is. So we'll let you know that now so you can chew on it. Yep. I went there.
Yeah, you made the pun. Okay. So in any case, we just need to listen to Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
But we're not going to take this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right. Exactly. Don't be racist. That's my job. You know, no anti-Semitism. Just be a decent human being for fuck's sake.
Exactly. And I guess we got to say this, too.
Just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
They are definitely counting on us, I would assume, to fuck things up, which so far we haven't, other than you forgetting who was running the show.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I think we've figured it out. I think we've got it that nailed down from here, so I think we're good.
The training wheels can come off now, sir. Yeah,
exactly, but we need to start with the health segment, which will never, ever, ever be...
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yes, well, no, but... This is I think this is a great story. Seniors who listen to music may slash their dementia risk by over a third.
I don't remember. I don't recall. I wanna rock.
Now, older people who listen to music often slash their risk of dementia by more than a third, according to a new study. The research studied people over the age of 70 and found that listening to music or playing an instrument is linked to a reduction of up to 39% in the chances of developing the debilitating condition. Increases in life expectancy due to advances in medicine and technology have seen a rise in the prevalence of age-related diseases, including dementia and cognitive decline. Might have something to do with the food, so the new study involving more than 10,800 older people looked at the benefits of listening to or playing music. The findings showed that always listening to music compared with never, rarely, or sometimes doing so was associated with a 39% decreased risk of dementia. Playing an instrument was associated with a 35% reduction in dementia risk, according to the study published in the International Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. Now, always listening to music was also associated with a 17% lower incidence of cognitive impairment, as well as higher scores in overall cognition and episodic memory, which is used when recalling everyday events. Well, yeah, music and events go together. I mean, that makes nothing but sense, right? And regularly listening and engaging in both listening to and playing music was associated with a 33% decreased risk of dementia, a 22% decreased risk of cognitive impairment. Yeah, music.
There's a very good reason why, because I really think screen usage, you know, always being on their fondle slabs, that's, you know, that's pushing the bar the other way.
Yeah, well, but this is one of the reasons why we love music so much is because it is actually, yeah, I mean, music kind of gets you in the zone sometimes, right? I think it keeps you engaged because it's something that's in your environment that maybe brings you joy, right? Maybe you like listening to music.
Yeah, it's like my mom doing her diamond paintings and, you know, the word search books that I got her. It, you know, she's got one of the paintings already done. She's been putting a lot of time not looking at a screen into, you know, her life, which is exactly what I was hoping would happen, because it's good for her to not be staring at a fondle slab or a television.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I know she's got a music device because I got her a little stereo thing with a CD player and whatnot, and she's happy as a clam.
Yeah, exactly. We love listening to music, right? That's why we do Studio 33 and Rideshare Radio. It's something that, you know, it's something that brings me joy, honestly. If I, you know, not to get into that segment, but we should probably continue with the health segment, which I think we've finished that story, so it's time to go to the next one.
Yeah, that would probably bring the listeners joy as well. But this is kind of interesting because experts say this common drink may be harming your liver.
Red Bull gives you wings.
You might die.
Reaching for a caffeinated drink can help kickstart your day or power you through an afternoon slump. In fact, 90% of us consume caffeine on a daily basis. Well, or if you are in Casa Lotus, like 90% of the things you consume are caffeine in a daily basis. But anyways, if you usually get your caffeine kick from an energy drink, it could spell trouble for your liver health. Caffeine's a natural stimulant that can help you feel more energized and alert. But you can also have too much of a good thing. The Food and Drug Administration recommends that adults consume no more than 400 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is equivalent to a 12-ounce energy drink.
I think that's about as much caffeine as I have running through my veins at any one time.
Yeah, possibly. Now, these energy drinks can contain anywhere from 40 milligrams on the low end to 250 on the high end. And a 16-ounce can pack even more than that. So if you down a couple of those cans a day, you could be consuming unhealthy amounts of caffeine. Now, what does this all mean for your liver? As your body's primary detoxification system, your liver has to process that flood of caffeine. While the occasional energy drink isn't likely to cause liver problems, regularly drinking large amounts of highly caffeinated ones could lead to liver injury over time. Coffee, by comparison, has been linked to either liver health, mostly due to its more than 1,000 bioactive compounds. This is why, you know, downing all the caffeine we do in the form of bean juice isn't as bad as all those energy drinks. Plus, don't get me started on the taurine and what it does to your brain. So to complicate matters, energy drinks can be marketed as supplements. And when they are, they aren't required by law to list their caffeine on the nutrition facts panel. That means you could be getting a lot more caffeine than you bargained for. Energy drinks also include sugar, either real or fake, and we know what that does to you. They also often contain a cocktail of supplemental ingredients like vitamins and minerals, as well as herbs like guarana and ginkgo biloba. These ingredients are often marketed as natural, which makes them seem wholesome. But it's your liver's job to process them all. And one seemingly innocent ingredient commonly added to energy drinks is B vitamins. Yes, B vitamins play an active role in energy metabolism. However, energy drinks, they contain more than we really need. And even to the point that it might be harmful to your liver. For example, niacin is an important B vitamin, but too much of it can potentially lead to liver toxicity. And some research has even linked high niacin energy drinks to the development of hepatitis. The experts, we all know what experts are, well, they suggest coffee, tea, water, or low-fat milk, which I have to include this bit from the original article. Sure, milk doesn't contain caffeine. But that doesn't mean it can't give you a bit of the energy you're looking for, thanks to electrolytes like potassium. Milk's an excellent choice for fending off dehydration. Plus, its natural sugars can boost energy levels, while its protein helps sustain them for longer. A winning combination, if you ask us. Oh, brother, really? 16 grams of sugar per serving. That's all I have to say. That, to me, wipes out any goodness that might be in the milk when you focus on those 16 big-ass grams. And honestly, them saying skim milk, low-fat milk, oh, get right the fuck out of the building. Whole milk or nothing.
Yeah, and like Sir Bemmer said in the chat, they're soda with better marketing. I mean, I think he's not wrong about that.
That is not a bad way to describe it. Accurate AF.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's talk about Ozempic, because it's been a while since we've done an Ozempic story.
Yeah, like last week.
Oh, well, I guess.
We did have one last week.
Oh, okay, we did. Okay, so the Ozempic effect is finally showing up in obesity data.
Oh.
I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
Well, for years, obesity rates in the United States has gone in one direction, up. From the first year it was launched, Gallup's National Health and Well-Being Index has found that the share of U.S. adults reporting obesity has climbed and climbed, rising from 25.5% in 2008, which was probably low then, to 39.9% in 2022, also probably low now. So that survey caught the last leg of an epidemic that has been spreading for decades, with estimated obesity prevalence tripling over the past 60 years. And it's not that the country hasn't tried to fight weight gain, although if you look at the food system, well, anyway, but from the $33 billion Americans spend each year on weight loss products and services to government efforts like First Lady Michelle Obama or Mike Obama, right? Let's move.
Big Mike.
Yes. Or Make America Healthy Again. Little has worked. Now, many doctors and patients have come to believe the rise in obesity may all be all but biologically inescapable, despite the grave health risks that accompany it. No, fix the food system. But anyway, maybe not. According to the latest results from the Gallup survey, self-reported obesity has started to fall, declining by nearly 3 points to 37% in 2025. The self-reporting part is an important limitation. People's reporting of their weight tends to be imprecise, and we'll need more definitive proof from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of Your Health to be sure. But it's some of the earliest evidence that the U.S. may finally be turning a corner on one of the biggest health crises of the modern age. And the main reason it appears to be happening isn't because weight loss experts have stumbled upon a new diet that always works. And we haven't and probably never will. Or because we've managed to ban all the unhealthy junk food, which we haven't and almost certainly never will. It's likely because of the growing use of glucagon-like peptide 1 agonists, better known as GLP-1 drugs, like Ozempic and Wegovy. Now, that message was surely brought to you by
Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Well done.
I know. I'm a professional over here. Professional smartass, anyway. Yeah, every time I hear someone talk about these drugs, it just makes my skin crawl. I wish people truly understood that you are risking your life with the horrible side effects because you're injecting yourself with poison, also that you can slim down fast instead of changing what you're eating. Stop putting all that sugar and those grains and, God, those joint-destroying seed oils. We speak and pound tables about it every week, and we'll continue to do so. But it's true. Like, just stop taking this drug for the love of life. I'm not going to rant, I promise. But I am going to talk about the 7 best foods to eat before bed for uninterrupted sleep, according to nutrition, quote, experts.
Eat it. Just eat it.
Chat. Now, if you're feeling a little peckish after dinner, what do you usually reach for? A muffin? Some candy? Now, while there's nothing wrong with these snacks, other than they're full of sugar, there are certain nutritious foods that can set you up for a more comfortable night of sleep. The foods you eat have a direct impact on your blood sugar levels. For example, high blood sugar levels are linked to repeat interruptions and lower sleep quality, according to experts. Now, thus, choosing a snack that helps to keep your blood sugar levels steady and your sleep uninterrupted is advised. In the hours leading up to sleep, both registered dietitians advise limiting ultra-processed foods and drinks packed with high levels of sugar, such as soda, cake, candy, and desserts. And that can dramatically spike your blood sugar level. So it makes me wonder, they're talking about this, okay? But what about the fact that after you have dinner, a lot of people do choose to have dessert? How long? I mean, this almost kind of reminds me of the, you have to wait 30 minutes before you can go into the water thing. Like, this article doesn't talk about how long before you go to bed, because some people, let's be honest, some people go to bed shortly after eating dinner. It's just how it goes. I think there's holes in this. I'm just saying.
Oh, they mean there's gambling going on?
I know, right? It's almost like it's a tainted article. But instead, if you feel like snacking, these experts recommend going for something high in fiber and protein and low in sugar to keep your blood sugar levels stable. Besides the type of food, nutrition experts also advise against very large portions leading up to sleep and to allow yourself at least 2 hours before your head meets the pillow. Okay, so basically you're not allowed to have dessert with dinner. That's how I read this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when I looked at this, I went, this is a hate cover. So go on.
And again, the fact I said that about it doesn't say anything about time and then I read a little further proves that I do not know these articles before we go on mic. These are cold reads for your entertainment. So the 2-hour window allows your body time to digest so you don't have the food you just ate sitting at the top of your gastrointestinal tract, which can be uncomfortable, according to one of these jabronis. If you lay down too quickly, we could have backflow of the contents of our stomach back up into our esophagus, and this can lead to reflux. Yeah. I mean, also, like, what you put in your stomach kind of matters, because I've completely eaten, like, a bunch of cheese before going right to bed. And, yeah, no gastric reflux for me. But anyway, allowing yourself that 2-hour window also gives your body the chance to bring sugar levels back, blood sugar levels back to balance before you try to sleep, according to one of these other jabronis. So, y'all ready to rage? Here we go. Nuts or seeds with fresh fruit and nut butter. Wow, that's not full of carbs or anything. Greek yogurt, hummus and veggies, cheese with fruits and nuts. Pairing a cheese stick with a piece of fruit or a handful of berries or nuts can create a winning protein and fiber combo. Cheese also provides calcium, which supports healthy bones while helping the body produce melatonin, an essential sleep hormone. Yeah, okay, I don't have a problem with the cheese, but keep the fucking fruit. Maybe a few nuts, but that's the after party. So, popcorn. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not gonna rage. Open-faced sandwich. Yeah, because, you know, you want all that fucking bread, that big old lump of shit sitting in your gut before going to bed. Get creative with the protein and fiber combination. I got an idea. How about you keep 90% of the shit in that list? There's one for you. You know, you want a pre-snooze snack? Try grilling a nice steak and then slicing it really thin and pairing it with your favorite sharp cheddar or whatever kind of cheese you enjoy. Mm. Little, you know, pre-nap tip from the Lotus Effect.
Yeah.
That sounded like it made you happy.
It did, actually.
Alrighty.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you! All right. Now, a woman tracks down her long-lost dad using a newspaper ad and discovers 11 siblings. We are family. Thanks to a good old newspaper back page ad, an English woman has found a whole new side to life, her father's, whom she had never met. It started when Louise Walters was 8 years old and found out that the man she thought was her father wasn't. Louise's mom, Angie Ishmael, was in a relationship and living together with another man in Brighton back in 1969 for around a year before finding out she was pregnant. During Louise's childhood and adolescence, her mother would say that her real father was irresponsible and probably in prison or dead. One of those two prognostications turned out to be wildly accurate. But Walters always wanted to know who her father was, and so in 2010, she placed an ad in the Lost Touch column in the Brighton Argus, which read, "I'm trying to trace a Gary Pavella who lived in Kemp Town in the late 1960s. It's really hard not knowing who your dad is," Walters told England's Southwest News Service. "It's like there's a piece missing. It was amazing to hear his voice for the first time on the phone." Ishmael had known Louise's dad as Gary and remembers that he ran a barber shop called Pavella's. Despite her mother's low opinion of Gary, they placed the ad together in 2010. And 3 years later, Ishmael got a call from a woman called Marianne who said he was Louise's half-sister. Now, mom phoned and I said, "I think we found your dad," Walters remembered. And it happened during that year, and Mr. Graham Paveller, now 81 years old, found the ad and when he was Googling his old name. And he had always wondered about Luis, so he decided to send an intermediary to get in touch to reunite the father and daughter after more than four decades of separation. The reunion led her to discover or acquaint herself with 11 new siblings from all across the world, a testament to her mother's declaration of her former lover's irresponsibility. Including Walters, Graham Paveller fathered 12 children by 7 women, so Louise now has 11 siblings to add to the 2 stepsisters she grew up with. Despite the ill repute, Walters said that hearing her real father say, "I love you," was very moving. I feel complete, she recalled. We just hit it off straight away. I felt like I'd known him forever. From her home in England's Nottinghamshire, she made the effort to acquaint herself with as many of her half-siblings as she can. These include 54-year-old Marianne, who first contacted her, as well as Zoe, 43, and Jenny in her 20s. She and her half-brothers, too, Jamie, Emil, Leslie, and Diamond in their 20s. Now, one lives in Sweden, another's a monk in Thailand, and one passed away. Louise is closest to Leslie, Zoe, and Marianne, who she visits and speaks to regularly. Well, I mean, that's...
Okay, dude. You got kids in your 20s, and you're, like, 81? Wow. Damn. Bro was laying some fucking pipe. I mean, this guy must have been a construction contractor with the pipe he was laying. Holy fuck. And into his, like, late 50s, early 60s. I'm hoping you're like this dude.
Well, I've only got eyes for you, so.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah, so... So anyway, how about we get onto this other story? Because this is a great story here.
This really is a super story because she hiked the entire Appalachian Trail at 80, unaware she'd just made history.
Hello there, Peabody here. Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
And away we go!
The day Betty Kellenberger hit a patch of freezing rain on Mount Madison, quitting crossed her mind. She was hungry, cold, and sore. "You're 80 years old," she told herself in a pep talk atop a mountain in New Hampshire. "You can do it." A few months later, Kellenberger stood at the Massachusetts-Vermont border, having just finished hiking the entire 2,197-mile Appalachian Trail. She became, without realizing it, the oldest woman ever to do it. "We put all kinds of limitations on ourselves," said Kellenberger, who lives in Carson City, Michigan. "Sometimes the biggest one is we don't get up and try it." The Appalachian Trail had interested Kellenberger since she was an elementary school student. "I was just fascinated by the idea that you could walk from Georgia to Maine," said Kellenberger, who grew up on a farm in Howell, Michigan. "It was a dream more than anything else because I never had the time." Kellenberger was a middle school teacher for more than 4 decades, and she taught adult classes at night. In her spare time, she was an avid cyclist, biking across every state in the country and every province in Canada. She also rode her bike along the Underground Railroad. "I've done Australia and New Zealand and China," she said, "and then I switched to hiking." When she retired in 2009, Kellenberger started checking items off her bucket list, including hiking up to Machu Picchu. Next, she set her sights on completing the Appalachian Trail. Only 1 in 4 people who attempt to hike through, meaning to hike the trail in 12 months or less, ultimately complete it, according to the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. Kellenberger's first attempt to hike the Appalachian Trail didn't go as planned. She started training in 2022 in her small Michigan town, where the closest thing to a mountain, she said, was the staircase at a local hospital. "I did that over and over again," said Kellenberger, who was not married and has no children. When she embarked on the actual trail, she suffered a series of setbacks: Lyme disease, dehydration, and a concussion. Her hiking partner, Joe Cox, also had a bad fall, and they both got off the trail about halfway through. In 23, Kellenberger started the hike again, though near the midpoint of her hike, she fell and went home. Cox, a U.S. Navy veteran, couldn't join her on the trail as he was dealing with health challenges, and he died of complications from stomach surgery that year. Aw, that's sad. Shortly after, Kellenberger had shoulder surgery, then a knee replacement in 24. Once she recovered, she decided to take another stab at hiking the whole Appalachian Trail entirely on her own. "I dedicated my hike to Joe," she said. She hiked all throughout the summer, ending her journey at the Mass-Vermont border on September 12th.
And her success was covered by the hiking publication The Trek, as well as several local stations. And before Kellenberger, the oldest woman to thru-hike the trail was Linda Nana Vanderloop at the age of 74.
Wow.
Yeah, once I get my head set on a goal, I'm so focused that I keep going, Kellenberger said. And yeah, the article has a lot more about it. I pulled the sort of the relevant facts out of it, but it's, right. Especially like the, you know, where she actually got through all the way there because she met up with some people along the way, and it was this is pretty amazing. Is what that's a
hell, you
know,
yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things I've heard about people doing that, and it's you know, it's definitely a it seems like it's something you got to dedicate yourself to get it done. I mean,
yeah, I would say you definitely have to like dig deep inside yourself at a lot of points, because that's a very long way to do on foot, and that's very hard on your body.
Yeah.
And doing it like in a year, I mean, I don't know the terrain, but I know it's pretty fucking intense, and I can't even imagine the distance you can do in like one day before you just have to rest. And then, you know, at some point your body's just like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you really want to do this? You yeah. really got a soul search. So yeah, good for her.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Meanwhile, I think it's time to get a little stupid here, which is good.
It is.
It's time for the Cavalcade of Stupidity.
Hi-de-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity! Born in Weldon, North Carolina in 1942, James Lewis McLeese, also known as Jimmy Soul, was an American vocalist best remembered for his 1963 number one hit, If You Want to Be Happy. Starting out at the age of 7 as a preacher and performing gospel music as a teenager, he acquired his performing name, Soul, from his congregation. Taking to the road and touring the southern United States, Jimmy was a member of various gospel groups. During this time, he became popular around the Norfolk, Virginia area, and it was here that Soul was scouted by Frank Gouda and recruited to sing songs handpicked for one of Gouda's other artists, Gary U.S. Bonds. From the 1963 album, If You Want to Be Happy, this is Jimmy Soul, If You Want to Be Happy.
If you want to be happy, mother, that's a joy life. Help me make a friend, dear one, for your wife. Go for my personal part of you. Get another girl to marry you.
If you want to be happy, mother, that's a joy life. Help me make a friend, dear one, for your wife.
That's a great song. I remember that song from Dr. Demento days, and I also remember that Barnes and Barnes did a cover of it too. Which actually wasn't bad, but yeah, that's the original. You know,
and go. I remember hearing the original because my parents listened to, well, my mom more than anybody listened to like 50s and 60s and shit. So I was super into it.
Yeah. So anyway, so thank you, Rev Cybertrucker, for that Cavalcade of Stupidity. And we'll play.
Was amazing. Thank you so much.
We will play the full version of that in Studio 33. Meanwhile, we got Tales from Rideshare, don't we?
I think we do. Oh boy, do we have so many. Yeah, this must be catching up like I was catching up on sleep after being up 36 hours. But so we start our journey with Dr. Farts-a-Lot. This dude, I pick him up at a medical facility in K-Town, And I got to drive him across town to another medical facility because he's afloat. And I kid you not, he tells me he has to sit, like, laying down because he's got some nerve problem. That's fine. I don't care. All of a sudden, this fucking smell smacks me in the nose. I mean, just assaults every sense. And my eyes are watering. And I hear the back window go down and I'm like thinking, you motherfucker, you knew you just hotboxed my fucking car. You fucking Dutch ovened this bitch. I was like, oh my God. And I'm so thankful that I could just tuck my nose up, you know, into my shirt where I can smell my perfume and not this guy's ass blast. I'm like, Jesus fuck. What is it about people farting in my fucking car, guys? Like, seriously. Compose. So, get him where he needs to go. Whatever. Great. Fuck off. Don't care. The next story I have comes from my pulling into BK to grab lunch. Yes, I know. Hot garbage food. Move on. They ask for a name for the order. I always give Phoenix as if I have to give a name for something that's not necessary for legalities. Like, fuck you. My burger order doesn't have to have my legal name. So, I give him Phoenix. I kid you not, the dude is like, is that Phoenix? I'm like, no. I'm like, you don't know how to spell Phoenix? Like, Phoenix, Arizona? Except, like, oh my God. The fuck is wrong with people in the world, guys? Come on. This dude clearly was more than high school age, okay? Really? I can't. I wouldn't have given a shit if he spelled it like the city. I wouldn't have. But the fact that he was so desperately far off just made my heart hurt. Like, proof the education system needs to be dismantled because it's clearly not working. Now, a happy thing. So I picked a gentleman up, older gentleman, and he needed me to go to Weigel's, which is a gas chain here in our state and in the South and whatnot. So, no problem. There's a Weigel's over by the mall that has Starburst lollipops. It's a little tiny Weigel's. It's not one of those big, massive ones that I like so much that are big and bright, and I can always be assured that I can go potty. So, no, this was one of the tiny ones, but they have Starburst lollipops, and I just think these things are so great. So, I was smiling about the fact, I'm like, this is my favorite Weigel's when I'm over here because they have Starburst lollipops, and it's the only one I've found them at. This guy bought me a cherry Starburst lollipop. I thought it was so sweet. I still have it with my stuff. I haven't opened it and ate it. I almost did. Oh my God.
You didn't tell me it was a cherry one.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't eat it, was because I was going to offer it to you, and I'm still offering it to you. Because it just happened to be cherry. Like, what? I know you like cherry. But anyway, that's a different story for a different time. So that actually kind of leads to the next story I have. Because as I was coming back from North Carolina, because at 9:30 at night, I get offered a ride to North Carolina that's paying better than $100. And I'm like, sure, what the fuck, why not? Till the realization that we're looking at a 6-hour round trip. And I needed to be up early to go with my mom and have brunch and also handle some other business. So I'm like looking at the fact it's going to be 4 or 5 in the morning before I get home. How much sleep am I going to get before I have to be up to make the trek across the mountain, which takes like an hour? Plus, you got to figure there's a time zone difference, jump ahead an hour. So yeah, the math didn't math for me getting a lot of fucking sleep if I did that. So I decided that I would just stay out all night. And I worked until about 9 in the morning when my eyes and my brain had a conversation and I was the losing party. And it was like, yeah, we're either going to take a nap or, you know, we're done, because my head was throbbing. My eyes were burning. I'm like, okay. So I took like a 2-hour nap, 9 to 11, in the parking lot where we park to wait for airport pickups. Left my rideshare light on, so fuck anybody. I'm doing rideshare, as far as y'all know. It's none of your business. Nobody bothered me. It was great. I laid the seat back and used my sweatshirt as a pillow. And yeah, I crashed a full 2. And then I got up and didn't go back to bed until midnight last night. So yeah, I essentially was up for about 36 hours and holy fuck, did my body feel it. And during that time, let me tell you, I stopped in Marion, North Carolina. I am actually going to call these motherfuckers out because I stopped at the Loves I used to love to stop at. No pun intended. Funny story behind that is I've got a yellow light, and the way this is constructed, when you come off the off ramp for this exit, at the end of the off ramp, there's a light. And as soon as you go over that road, which is literally like a little hump, it's cool, you're into the driveway for the parking lot for the Loves. So I've got a yellow light, and I know, I just watched it turn yellow. I know I've got the time to do the little whoop whoop over the hump until I hear a fucking siren. And right on my right side, there's an ambulance coming from the other direction. I'm like, nope, I'm not blowing that light. No, that's got no written all over it. And then the fucking thing, because I'm thinking, no, don't turn in, yep. Turned right into the Loves. I'm like, oh, here we go. So my smartass lack of sleep comedian comes out. I pull into the parking spot and I get out. And of course, the cashiers are at the door. And I've got my blue Uber light on. I want to point that out. It's like probably 2 o'clock in the morning easily. And so I get out and I'm like, damn, y'all, didn't know you were sending a welcoming committee, but I appreciate it. And they were laughing. They said, we saw you come off the, you know, the on-ramp or the off-ramp there. We thought you were a cop when we saw the ambulance until we realized it was an Uber light. I'm like, no, not a cop, just a dog-ass tired Uber driver. And here's where Macaulay's motherfuckers out at. No coffee, folks. The only coffee they had was from the machine that grinds it fresh and then makes you a cup of coffee that tastes like liquid cardboard. No fucking thank you. So I was like, how are you going to be a truck stop? A proper motherfucking truck stop. And you ain't got no coffee at 5 a.m. that's brewed other than out of your lazy machine because your lazy ass cashiers don't want to make no motherfucking real coffee for drivers. Fuck them bitches. Fuck that Loves. I won't stop again. I was pissed. But what I didn't get pissed at, this is actually cool. And I think I told you about this phone boy. Had a rider in K-Town sometime during the week, because I remember it was nighttime. And because I don't usually work late. Anyways, TLDR is, I bring this person and we're having a chit-chat about the good and such. And she's from Canada. Ottawa, to be exact. And she got a duck.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ottawa duck. Yes.
Yeah, the Ottawa duck.
Yes. I've been to Ottawa a few times because we have an office up there. So
I thought that was the coolest thing. Like, Lotus Effect has crossed borders. Yeah. Because we're going to Canada, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, boys, let's spread the word up there.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. She was a lot of fun to chit chat with, too. Because we were, you know, talking about the 0.3 being an arbitrary number and how we had covered it on the show. That was kind of the lead into how she ended up with the duck. And she gave me a really nice tip, too. She was a super awesome passenger. Wonderful conversation. Really enjoyed that. So, that's all I've got. That's all the rides this week that were worthy to talk about. So we should probably toast and jam about our own life here.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
Yeah, and, we're still planning to get to the weigh-in segment, but if you haven't called in yet to 253-237-3321, it's a good time to do that, right? If you're in the chat and you haven't said anything, yeah, we'd like to know, what brings you joy? That is our question this week. Honey, what are we cooking tonight?
Well, you know,
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
I had at some point made, I had smoked a pork butt, which results in a fantastic pulled pork experience. And we had a container in the refrigerator that I had made. So it was.
Or was it? Well, yeah, we dug it. We dug some.
Yeah,
things
we dug it out of the freezer.
Yeah, we dug it out of the freezer because because of having to sort of deal with the fact that we now have a whole bunch of more beef that, yeah. We already talked about that. It caused us to clean out our other freezers and other places. And yeah, we kind of went, What's this? Because it was funny because right before that, I said we were trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do for dinner this week? Well,
I'm catching hell in the chat from the oldest. Where's my invite, Mom?
Yeah,
dude, this is not the quality pulled pork that you would want. You would want it fresh off the smoker and properly rested. This is a pulled pork that was in the freezer from, I don't even know. It doesn't have a tag on it.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a couple of things that also we need to deal with in the refrigerator, but not tonight. Yeah.
Fucking troll.
Yes.
Sir Bemrose says when smoking a pork butt, it's important to know which end to light and which end to put your lips on.
Fair enough.
Fucking troll.
All right.
Credit.
All right. Let's get out of this. Because I'm sure when we eat it, it's gonna be. You know,
it's absolutely definitely gonna be.
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
And we should probably work on the Pets of the Lotus calendar at some point.
We really need to get submissions for the Pets of the Lotus calendar. So we will repeat this again. Please send us the pictures of your fur babies. Include their names, because we'd like to be able to do that. But we want to put a calendar together, the Pets of the Lotus, and include our own shithead, which I think he might be at my feet. No. Not Kitty at my feet. He was when we started, but he fucked off at some point. He's got better things to do, like go puke on my fucking rug or sleep on the back of the love seat or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, anyway, last Sunday we had Wookiee over for
Scootball.
Yeah, for screaming at the pigskin, right? I don't know how I said, hey, Google, eat shit and die, right? But her phone picked it up.
Because of the fact that her phone, I think, had triggered when I was saying, hey, Siri or something.
Yeah.
Something happened that triggered the goddamn AI to wake up. And you said, hey, Google, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you should die. And it said something, and it gave this answer, which you sent me. I need to pull this up. But, I mean, this is a fuck.
Yeah, there was a photo sent because she screenshotted it and sent it. I could probably find it easier than you.
You might actually be able to find it easier than me because, yeah, you and I send a lot of shit back to each other. It is truly amazing.
Are you saying we talk shit to each other?
No, it says, I'm unable to fulfill that request. I am programmed to be helpful and harmless. Yeah, we want you to cause harm to yourself.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Hey, Google, please self-destruct.
Exactly. Well, so that I thought that was really funny. It's just that, I have the screenshot. Maybe I'll actually copy it. Let's see if I can actually paste it into the chat here. Because the screenshot is fucking, I think that's also going to become a time code. I'm going to turn that into, oh, shit. I don't want to do that. I don't want to paste the actual photo, you dipshit. I want to do that. Okay. Anyway,
gotta love tech.
Yeah, we gotta love tech. But now, speaking of tech, and so this is actually something that I ran across because I got a message from Apple saying, hey,
wait, time out. What? Mama just said I set her phone off. When I said, hey, Google, go self-destruct, I set Mama's phone off.
Yes.
I'm dead. I love it.
Yes. Okay. As I was saying, I discovered, I had to sign into iTunes or whatever the Apple podcast, the back end of that, because I had to accept some new terms and conditions and there was a little bit of what's new on there also. So it turns out that Apple Podcasts is now finally going to support podcasting 2.0 chapters.
Yay!
Yes, which is actually something that we've been doing for a while now.
AC is probably beating his dick off over that.
Yeah, I presume he is. But the point being, and actually the funny thing is that this actually came up in a conversation I was having yesterday with somebody I work with, and it's been a few years since I talked to him, and we were talking about podcasting, and he said, you know, I'm kind of more of a visual guy, but you know, doing a whole video for this doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. I said, well, you know, you can do, here's podcasting 2.0 chapters, here you go. You know, I gotta send him the stuff about it. I mean, it's anyway, but this is actually, but I honestly, like, yeah, I was actually kind of, that's one of those things. I was like, well, okay, I'm not really following podcasting 2.0, but when I saw that and I went and looked at their spec, I went, oh, that's podcasting 2.0, right? Because that's exactly what they're doing, right? So it's the same thing. So it'll be nice when I can actually use Apple Podcasts to fully check that the podcast is up with the chapters and everything. That'll be kind of nice when that happens. But Anyway, now talk about your alarm.
Okay, so I decided that the current alarm that I had, which is these extremely jarring church bells, I wanted to find a new alarm and discovered, oh, I can actually set a song as an alarm. So I went through all of the albums that I have downloaded, and damn if I don't have Rush's Test for Elko downloaded. And we all know how much I love that song. So every morning, Phoneboy gets to be woken by my alarm of Geddy Lee and the boys absolutely killing it to Test for Echo. And it is the best alarm I've ever had.
Well, there you go. I mean, it works. It gets you, it wakes you up if you're not already awake, that's for sure.
But it's not like the bells. It doesn't jar like the bells.
Well, it gets you up, you know.
Well, that's the point of it. It was either going to be that or Power Man 5000 Bombshell. Which would you prefer, sir?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with your choice. Let's...
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so, all right, I did another YouTube video because, you know, I felt inspired to.
Because he has nothing but fucking time. He works from home, this white privileged bastard.
Yeah, well, anyway, so this is something you can, and that's something a little more kind of, you know, philosophical that you may like or not. I don't know, but it was just one of those things I went out in the forest and recorded, and yeah, it's a thing, so. Not gonna get it. Like I said, I'm probably not gonna spend any time talking about it. But it's stuff you're gonna hear me talk about here anyway that I've said before. So, no, nothing about that. Now,
I have a question, Phoneboy. Mm-hmm. So you go out in the forest and speak. Mm-hmm. It starts speaking back. You should run.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. You last night.
Triple faded Pac-Man. Yeah. Would be more accurate.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean,
I decided that the couple of tall cans of Jack Cooler that I picked up mixed with some fiery, snowy goodness. Yeah. And the fact I had been up basically 36 hours. Yeah. I, for some reason, was like, hey, while you're cooking me some garbage noodles to soak up the oopsie in my system and nourish my body, I think I want to play Pac-Man. So I sat and played some seriously triple-faded Pac-Man, just laughing maniacally at the fucking screen. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever done, and I would do it again. It was fun as fuck.
Well, then we watched Richard Dawson era Family Feud. I thought that was great.
Oh, my God. That was... you know what? I actually didn't realize how much I enjoy him as the host, even if he was a deviant bastard.
Well, that's why it was
he
one of the...
He's
from that era, right? It's like, yeah, because I mean, he was on 70s Match Game too, right? I mean, yeah, he was a deviant, so was Gene Rayburn, but
but
we love them both. Yes, it's exactly why we love them. He was a great dude. Like,
yeah, he was. I would actually stay up late to watch his Family Feud again. That was fun.
Yeah, exactly. There might even be a Family Feud channel on fucking...
I actually think there is.
There probably is. I mean, yeah, I know. Yeah, they've got them from the different eras. Oh my God. Yeah. Now you showed me this last night and I'm like, I didn't react the way you expected, but I was confused. I'm like, they have that on... it was more that they have this on vinyl.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I found it extremely necessary and I was compelled. Can't say it wasn't a Stone Deep purchase, possibly, but I actually found a version of Avenue Q's original cast Broadway. That is the troupe that does The Internet is for Porn and also does Everyone's a Little Racist on vinyl. And it's an orange vinyl. It's adorbs. I paid better than $100 for this thing. No fucks to give. Totally worth it. Can't wait for this thing to arrive so that I can listen to the entire thing with Phoneboy. It's going to be a super awesome time.
Yes, and yeah, the vinyl picture that'll go with that, you know.
Yeah, because that's truly a rare find. I'm so excited, and it was literally the only one that could be found.
Well, there you go. So. Yeah, I was just kind of taken aback. Like, not only does that exist, you ordered it. I was just kind of...
Yeah, because I like Avenue Q. I think they're hilarious.
Yeah, I think they're
hilarious. And I mean, they say the shit that nobody else has the nerve to. And honestly, in the day and time that we are in, I'm sure that people, you know, all of these woke tards out there listening to the shit that we play would be absolutely losing their minds and screaming and pulling their pink and purple hair out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? I think it's time to weigh in.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
253-237-3321. Let us know what brings you joy. And we're going to hear from this first pedal head what brings them joy.
Well, we're going to see a text from Mama here. It says, "My cats and my grand dog bring me joy. They don't talk. They don't expect anything from me except love and food and treats. I prefer them over people any day." Yeah. Yeah, Mama.
Well spoken, Mama.
Yeah, spoken like a true introvert. All right. Now,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, now. Oh shit. Let's see. Okay.
Although she does prefer the humans who bring her Jack Daniel's Blackberry and cook for her. I mean, she's fond of those humans cuz I don't think they give her too much trouble.
No, I don't think so either. But anyway, let's play this first caller.
Hi y'all. What brings me joy is spending time with friends and hanging out and having fun. Love you guys. Have a good day. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Hi, Wookie.
Thank you, Wookie.
Yeah, we don't do that enough, right? I mean, that's kind of why we do the show, right? We hang out with our friends. We got more. We got another one of our pedal heads right here.
Yep. It's a Saturday. And working. Hello, Phoenix. Hello, fun boy. Joy? Working. Specifically, like, just right now. Like, just seeing something the other day. It's kind of like, hey, you know, appreciate that I have the ability to work, that I am working. Might not be exactly where I want to be, but it can be working. There's the joy in there. Also, last couple of weeks, been able to did 10 hours on Monday, and then did like 12 plus hours Tuesday through Friday, and then working today too, and gonna do like 12 hours plus. So, just thankful for that. Not something that had able to occur, but just thankful for that. So there's a joy. There's like a thankfulness and a joy, and just kind of how that all intermingles. Joy of family, joy of friends, the ability to step back and see things. Kind of crazy day at work the other day, and look out and like, hey, sunset, sort of thing. Somebody's like, you know, so but yeah, all sorts of stuff. Just I think it's kind of like sometimes hard to separate the mindset and the that feeling, I guess, if you will. It's like I can be running and be miserable, but I can also go out there. I'm like, hey, I'm smiling, I'm waving at the same time, and just the joy in that. So, yeah, just kind of, it's one of those things. It's like, hey, look at stress creates growth kind of deal. So anyway, so there's just the joy of love, the joy of God, joy of family, joy of friends, people. Just even think about it, my wife and I are, let's say, communication with some people, with some people, and it's frustrating, but it's like, okay, hey, just looking for wisdom and then how to navigate through this so we can get to the better and the joy that can be in that and seeing that versus just the frustration of just getting over it kind of thing, but they're going through it. Anyway, that's where my mind's at. Back to work. Love you guys. Stay dangerous. Whether or not it's joy, or it's just inside out, one and two. Give a hearty, hearty,
cacao! Thank you, Christopher Battles.
No, yes, thank you so much.
So there's something you pointed out in this in your message here that I kind of want to double click on, and that's actually the concept of gratitude, right? And it's important that we express gratitude for what we have in our life, because that's how you tell the universe you want more, right? You want more of something, and you really need to feel it too. It's not just, you know, you can't, the universe responds more to your energy than your actual words. So, you know, you need to kind of embody that energy but gratitude is how you tell the universe you want more of that. So it's real important that we do that, especially for the things that bring us joy, right? I mean, why not? I mean, that's part of why we do this. I mean, it brings us joy when we get calls from our pedal heads and stuff. Now, meanwhile, I think do we have a we got a text from one of our pedal heads, honey? Is that what is?
Yes, we did. I was actually looking for.
But the one, you mean the clip that we would use?
No, I've got it actually. That's exactly what I was doing. Was I was looking for a particular clip because the pedal head that had submitted it was Bemletier Squee. That's right. Bemlet has weighed in, and he said, "What brings me joy? All my pets and family. Roo, the pit Dobie that he has, his old lady cat Kaylee, the kitten Luna, Sushi the beta fish, Onyx the orange corn snake, and of course, Sabrina, Freya, and Brynja." That is so sweet, Bemlet. I love that. And I also love the fact that you named your orange corn snake Onyx, which, of course, it means black, but it's just fantastic. Is that...
Yeah, you need to click on the link in the...
Oh my god, Nam! Awesome!
Yeah, so Nam is grateful for his twin daughters, and I congratulate...
So beautiful, look at them!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I can't even... Congratulations to you and Nurse Elise, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, I think you got a lot to be grateful for.
Oh my God,
you're gonna have your hands full, my.
Yeah. Oh, good luck, bro.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you're gonna have your hands full. But you know that you know. I mean, I remember that joy when I got to first hold my son. Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that you just don't experience. You know. Anyway,
they are so amazing. When, oh my gosh, when were they born?
Yeah, well, Nam's gonna have to, yeah, I'm sure.
Nam's we're gonna have to hear all about it.
We're gonna have to hear all about it.
Yeah. Wow, congrats, man.
All right, anyway, so let's move on to the next cradlehead in the meanwhile.
Oh, what brings you joy? I sent some pictures to Phoenix when she said, "The question today is, what brings you joy?" And those are pictures of my kids doing various activities. Like right now, we are at the skating rink having a birthday party. I am not skating. Last year, I felt the need to partake in the skating, and I did really good for, like, the whole time until the very end. When the wife hollered, "Hey, come get cake," and I went to go turn around and went from 6.5 feet tall to flat on the ground, right on my tailbone. I was pretty sore for quite a while after that. But, yeah. So, that's where the joy comes from. Family. I have been trying to keep in mind when my kids are being super fucking annoying or destroying the house I just cleaned, that someday they're not going to be there to be fucking annoying or destroy the house I just cleaned. And that's, you know, as much as you dislike cleaning the house or dealing with annoying fucking noises, not having them around to make those noises or messes sounds like it sucks a lot more. But, yeah. So, yeah. Joy. Even the almond kind. It's pretty good stuff. Bye.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
And then clearly Weirdo felt like a nut a few times because he's got a few rogue rats running around. Great looking kids, by the way. We want to wish a happy birthday to Thing One. He mm-hmm. knows who he is.
Yes.
And we'll address that in Studio 33 as well. So let's see who the next pedal head is, what brings them joy.
Okay. I think this is. Yeah, nothing happened here, so I know that, and it's because she called back. And
I see.
Yeah, I think so. Something
phone
happened.
Call misfire.
Yeah, well, let's try this again.
Oh, things that bring me joy. Coming home to the dogs, obviously. It's-
Yeah, I know it's still playing, but
different rooms, and like one of them would be looking out the window at me, see me coming up, and he starts barking his head off, and then the other one hears Benji barking his head off, and Kyle come running too. It's really cute. Something else that brings me joy is baptism, especially babies, which is kind of bittersweet because it hits a grief point because I never got to have kids with Sir Greg. But at the same time, it's like, you know, okay, we're welcoming this new life into this big family of the church. And yeah, I cry every time. Helping others, even if they're ungrateful, because I know that I did make a difference in somebody's life, even if it's just, you know, hey, here's $5 to put gas in your tank or whatever. If I'm feeling down, something that brings me joy is hearing Greg's voice by listening to his podcast. I still have all of his podcasts on digital media, and it's very nice when I'm feeling down. It brings me out of a funk really well. Finishing chores, there's just like a sense of accomplishment, and it really boosts your mood when you're in a clean house, you know, and everything's done. You don't have to worry about anything. You just fuck off, and I feel guilty. And cooking for those I love and care about. My roommates or romantic interests, you know, that's always been a big sign.
I think Jen had some issues with the phone service when this call.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is what, because, yeah, I can see that there's more here.
But anyway, yeah, so those are some of the things that bring me joy, including calling in and listening to Lotus Effect. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, hey, that came through.
That was a gorgeous, shameless plug. I'm glad that didn't get fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. Well,
and thank you, Dame Jennifer. Even with all of your technical difficulties that you experienced, I think we have a better understanding of the joy in your life, and it's beautiful and touching.
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, I mean, Greg's old podcast, we could probably put that up somewhere for people to listen to.
You know, we probably should.
Yes, so, Jen, if you're interested in that, reach out offline.
Yeah, hit us up in the back channel, and we'll work something out.
Because I think having that somewhere where people can maybe listen to it. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, heck, I don't think I got to listen to it when it was out, so maybe... But, you know, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I don't think if I remember right, anything he did, nothing that he did would be, you know, topical necessarily, because it was, you know, the heavy metal historian, right? So, you know, we're talking music history, and music history is still music history. So,
they haven't tried memory holing that yet.
Yeah, well, they've been trying to memory hole music, that's for damn sure. But anyway, okay, I guess you and I should talk about what brings us joy. Well,
yeah, we should.
First of all, all of y'all sharing what brings you joy, that brought me joy, right? Because I'm glad that y'all have things that bring you joy. And honestly, like, you know, if you'd asked me what brings me joy, you know, 4 years ago, it wouldn't have been a whole lot. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, that was, it was pretty miserable. But now I'm grateful that I'm able to be who I am and not give a fuck about, you know, anybody or any, you know, or, I mean, I give a fuck about people, but I don't have to, right? There's no obligation to, and I give a fuck about the people I want to give a fuck about, right? It's just getting control of my life is I think that brought me joy. But you know, but then I started getting into, it's like the music, it's the one thing I brought, it's one thing I insisted on getting from my past life was my music collection, because that got me through a lot. And, you know, and that's why we do music, right? I like listening to music. I like, you know, I get into certain music, and music has talked to me and lots of things that brings me joy. Go letting Dougie loose in the kitchen at midnight is, you know, brings me joy, right? When I get to, you know, I get to go play with food in the kitchen, right? You know, and I'd like to do that. I mean, being with you brings me joy, but I mean, I don't know what else I'm going to say.
Okay. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that brings me joy. Doing the show, for the most part, brings me joy, especially because I get to hang out with you and be silly. Cooking, a lot of stuff. I love my Mountain Madness soap. Shower twice a day because I enjoy myself so much.
My coffee. There's a reason I have two coffee machines in this place.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Your love of coffee and cheese brings me joy.
Yeah, exactly. I love certain kinds of food. Right, food brings me joy. It's, you know, yeah. Anyway, I'm not gonna get all philosophical about it.
Right.
But
yeah, the last 4 years of my life, I have definitely found a lot of joy. You know, spending time with my kids when you know there's not all this chaos and bullshit going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Brings me joy. I like doing a lot of things. Like my list is really long, and honestly, my list is kind of ever changing because it depends on my situation where I find the joy. I can find joy in simple things, and then there's other things that are more complicated that bring me joy. So it's kind of hard to pin down just like one or two things with a whole lot of accuracy, other than hanging out with you degenerate motherfuckers and basically the life that I've had over the last 4 years, the notoriety that I've gained, the sense of being seen, and, you know, for everyone's pleasure, heard.
It's obscene! That's the point!
But I'm just, you know, what brings me joy is living right now.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to, and you know, and that, yeah, I'm enjoying being alive because I've got lots of things to be joyous about, and honestly, yeah, it's honestly, and I think the phrase I've come up with is, with great joy comes great responsibility. You should pursue the things that bring you joy, as long as they don't hurt somebody, right? As long as they don't impede on somebody else's you know, ability to experience joy, right? Then, you know, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, enjoying whatever it is you enjoy. Now, you know, just remember that it has a cost to it, right? Is that if you want, you know, do things that bring you joy, but don't do it to an excess. That's called an addiction, right? Or something like that, right? Because, you know, I mean, yeah, you might enjoy alcohol, but it's going to harm you after a while, right? So you need to be responsible and say, okay, we're, you know, kind of, you know, everything has its time and its place, right?
I also think that people necessarily, you need to find the joy in the simple things. Something as simple as a hug or, you know, seeing a beautiful butterfly or something. Find joy in the things that don't, you know, contribute to consumerism and things like that. I'm just saying, because part of being present and that whole responsibility thing also comes with the responsibility of not overlooking the gifts that the universe provides. Like I said, seeing a pretty butterfly or a nice warm breeze. Like today was a gorgeous day. Like for being fall, today was a nice toasty day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. It's been, yeah, we've had some nice weather the last 3 days. The moon this week has been, I mean,
beaver moon, according to the calendar that Dame DeLorean and Sir Spencer put out.
Yeah, I've got I took some photos from standing off the balcony here, and yeah, it's like it got really, yeah, I mean, the celestial energy has been pretty strong anyway, but yeah.
Well, I heard there was supposed to be a meteor shower. I didn't see one though. I was disappointed.
Yeah, I think that was a little while ago, and yeah, I haven't seen much, but
yeah. I'm not saying in the last day or two. I'm just saying recently, in the last week or two, there was supposed to be one. I feel cheated. I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it either. So we both missed it. So that's okay. Let's get high. What do you say?
I was going to say, but I don't think we got stoned and missed it.
I'll take a drink. And my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
That's right. I do not freebase cocaine because I am afraid of fucking dying. However, woo boy, y'all are not going to believe this one, but I think you're going to like it.
Wow, I am really high.
£465 of marijuana and fentanyl seized in Alabama during a drug raid. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't read it, folks. An Alabama man is behind bars after police raided a Dothan home and found 465 pounds of the sweet, sweet Mary Jane and enough fentanyl to kill the entire city, according to police. Vasquez Ramon Bryant. This is another reason we need these fucking illegals out of the country. 37 is charged with trafficking marijuana and trafficking fentanyl. The investigation began when a Dothan police officer carried out a traffic stop on Brian on Tuesday in the 300 block of Ross Clark Circle. Lieutenant Scott Owen said a search of the vehicle turned up 62 grams of blue pills that tested positive for Fent. A subsequent search warrant at the Woodland Drive home yielded the marijuana haul valued at 232.5. What the fuck? You're only getting 232 thou off of that?
Oh, you know, they're selling it, of course, and making the, you know, keeping the.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm saying that's what they think the street value is. When the cops sell it, it's at least double that. So investigators also confiscated 700 more grams of Fent pills with an approximate street value of 105,000, 759 individual THC vape devices valued at 11.925. Various drug paraphernalia items and two guns, including an AR-style rifle. Oh, you have to love! They just had to fucking include the guns in there. Name the AR fucking specifically, you fucking Democrats.
Yes, well, of course. Yeah, you know.
I dropped the D word again, motherfuckers.
Yes, you have to. Yeah, you have to keep the ATF happy. I mean, come on.
Police officials said the seizure was a result of a long-term ongoing investigation into drug distribution in Dothan. Who the fuck would think Dothan, Alabama would be a fucking hotbed of drug activity, huh? The amount of fentanyl found was enough to kill the entire population of our city and then some, said Dothan Police Chief William Benny. What?
Yes.
What? Benny Hill's doing police work now? I'm sorry. So we want the people supplying this poison on our streets to consider themselves on notice. We will find you. We will kill you. No, we will find you. We will arrest you, the chief said, and we will advocate for the harshest prosecution allowed by law. Get him, bulldog. Jesus Christ.
I was thinking Chief William Benzedrine, because when I think of Benny.
Either way, dude. Wow. That is a lot of fucking chief off the street, and that is a lot of fucking death. That fentanyl shit is just absolutely fucking terrible. It is so scary that it is so easy to get. It really is. I mean, seriously, but really? The weed? Get the fuck out of here. However, I'm going to say this, because those were both found together, I'm almost wondering if that piece of shit son of a bitch wasn't lacing the fucking weed with Fent.
You probably wouldn't be surprised.
I think it almost writes itself.
It almost writes itself. Okay, so this one didn't write itself because I pulled this off of some sort of website. Brazil to Meta, stop censoring weed, or I'll see you in court.
Yes, we're going, Ray. Just take it easy.
Where am I going to find a television room?
Here's the Walker.
Yeah, in the so-called era of digital freedom, Meta, the company behind Facebag, has been accused of censoring cannabis accounts left and right. According to data from Brazilian patient and activist organizations, nearly 50 profiles related to medical cannabis, including associations, doctors, influencers, and even the Marcha da Macana, their annual weed march, in several cities. Now, they were suspended in a single weekend, as reported by Brasil de Fato, of course, without a reason. And apparently, freedom of expression doesn't extend to cannabis activists, whether they focus on agriculture or medicine. And if there are no judicial reasons for so many account takedowns, why is Meta censoring cannabis content on such a massive scale? After the chaos caused by the company's actions, the Brazilian government decided to step in. Paulo Teixeira, Brazil's Minister of Agrarian Development and Family Farming, has become the loudest voice against the tech giant's policies, regarded by critics as arbitrary. He made it clear that he disagrees with the way Meta, the parent company of Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp, decides who gets to use its platforms and who wakes up one day to find their account gone. After being informed by Congressman Eduardo Suplicity about the deletion of dozens of accounts, Teixeira personally contacted Vanderlei Moraes, Meta's head of public policy in Brazil, demanding answers. During a live broadcast, the minister was blunt. If the censorship comes solely from Meta, I demand the immediate reactivation of these accounts. If these removals lack legal grounds, we will not hesitate to take legal action to protect them, since their absence harms countless Brazilians' patients seeking essential information and therapeutic alternatives. Okay, stop the fucking tape. As I was reading this story, I'm going, yeah, okay, so Facebook's a private company, right? Yeah, Facebook's a private company. They can decide who they want on their platform. Why is it that why is it that a government thinks that they can, you know, I guess the government thinks they can dictate control over shit, but yeah, you know, and then, you know, and maybe, and also people don't have to go to get Facebook to get all this other information. Yes, I know sometimes getting the word, you got to use a platform that other people are using. That's why, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, but also, can you really trust what you're seeing on said platform?
Yeah, but the reality is that they should be taking people off of these fucking platforms and onto something else that might be a little more, I don't know, friendly to the thing, right? Because that's part of the problem is that, you know, unfortunately, there's no way that Brazil is going to tell an American company. Yeah, I mean, they're going to try. I mean, there's all these, you know, this is where all the rules.
This comes down to different laws.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is that, yeah, they can, you know, they can say you can't operate in this country. And yeah, I guess they can actually potentially turn all that off or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. I just kind of look at this and I'm like, on one hand, I'm going, well, Facebook's a private company. They can do whatever the fuck they want. And fuck the government for telling them what to do. On the other hand, right, it's also stupid that they're relying on that they're relying on these third-party services, when if it's something they want to do, yeah, maybe have some resources that aren't on those fucking platforms that people can find, right?
That would be a logical answer.
Yes, or
that's
maybe
why they won't do it.
Or maybe build, or you know, here, you know, build your own fucking community, right? You know, it's like, hey, you know, people who are interested in XYZ, maybe go build a community, not on somebody, you know, on a platform that you control, right? Yeah, as opposed to one, that's why we use, one of the reasons we use Massive, you know, our own Mastodon instance. I was, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, accessing the, you know, clicking on an image link from No Authority Social, right? And getting blocked on my work computer. Like, well, there's a reason I run my own instance. I don't get blocked anywhere because I don't interact with people I don't want to interact with, and there's no problem, right? It's okay.
I wish the world would be more like that, where if you don't want to interact with someone, or if you don't like someone, moreover, instead of having to lose your shit on them and looking like a complete douche canoe, just fucking scroll past.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, according to the Agencia Publica, Meta admitted that there are no court order justifying the suspensions. The company attributed the incident to an algorithm error. Yeah, bullshit.
Lies!
Yes, and pledged to review the cases manually. Following the intervention, 20 accounts were reportedly reinstated, though again, no clear explanation was given for why they were taken down in the first place. Yeah, while Meta continues to censor educational content, Brazil keeps advancing in its medical cannabis regulation. And as they move toward a more inclusive legal framework, digital censorship continues to remind us of an uncomfortable truth. The freedom of expression promised by social media platforms doesn't apply equally to everyone. For some, it's just another tool for silencing. So maybe using these centrally controlled social media platforms, and even to some degree, I consider Mastodon, unless you're running your own instance, although with Mastodon, you can pick an instance where that, you know, you can find somebody that you agree with or you don't, right? And maybe pick a place there, but that's too complicated for most people, I suspect. And yeah, I just find the whole thing, social media is annoying because you're relying on somebody else most of the time to be operating the infrastructure, and they can decide, well, you don't get to talk to that person, you don't get to see that thought because it's wrong think. Well, yeah, maybe we should not be, you know, again, you know, sometimes they're used to get things out, but at some point we need to stop relying on these fucking platforms because they're not serving us. They're not operated by people that have our interest at heart.
Well, this is another example of stop relying on other people to do things for you. Do it your goddamn self. Or, you know, find the information on how to. You know, it's the whole, you know, feeding the animals government argument again, because like we saw an article in our local rag about somebody writing a letter to the editor whining and complaining about Trump having taken SNAP benefits away. Well, how many people on those fucking benefits are actually able to work and are just lazy, good-for-nothing fucks who collect a fucking check and are sucking off the government tit, and when the tit run dry, they cry? Well, guess what? Unless you truly cannot work and you have aged out, hell, I know people who aren't even aged out. They're being forced to work because of the fact of, you know, they would rather do that than take benefit. And now with the benefits collapsing, everybody's crying because nobody to put the bread in their hand. Well, maybe if you made your own bread, you wouldn't be starving.
Yeah, that's true. Well, all right, it's time to go to the AI Lies segment, otherwise known as Lotus Tech Tips.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Oh, I assure you, this first one is definitely sticking its head up its arse, because Google has had to pull their AI model after a senator says it fabricated assault allegations.
How can they just lie like that?
Google says it has pulled AI model Gemma from its AI studio platform after a Republican senator complained the model designed for developers fabricated serious criminal allegations about her. In a post on X, Google's official news account said the company had, quote, seen reports of non-developers trying to use Gemma in AI Studio and ask it factual questions. AI Studio is a platform for developers and not a conventional way for regular consumers to access Google's AI models. Gemma is specifically billed as a family of AI models for developers to use, with variants for medical use, coding, and evaluating text and image content. Gemma was never meant to be used as a consumer tool or to be used to answer factual questions, Google said. To prevent this confusion, access to Gemma is no longer available on AI Studio.
Okay, wait a minute. I have a question, though. What's the AI used? It's not even really clear what the AI, what questions you're supposed to ask this AI. If it's not factual questions, I mean, you know, related to development, you know, what is it? Anyway, they don't answer that fucking question. Bad reporting. Oh. Bad reporter. Get the spray bottle.
But does that surprise you?
No.
Now, it is still available to developers through the API, and Google didn't specify which reports prompted Gemma's removal, though on Thursday, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican for the great state of Tennessee, wrote to CEO Sundar Pichai, accusing the company of defamation and anti-conservative bias. Blackburn, who also raised the issue during a recent Senate Commerce hearing about anti-diversity activist Robbie Starbuck's own AI defamation suit against Google. Now, we covered that, remember? Now, that claimed Gemma responded falsely when he asked, has Marsha Blackburn been accused of rape? Gemma apparently replied that Blackburn was accused of having a sexual relationship with a state trooper during her 1987 campaign for state senate, who alleged she pressured him to obtain prescription drugs for her and that the relationship involved non-consensual acts. It also provided a list of fake news articles to support the story, Blackburn said. None of this is true. Not even the campaign year, which was actually 1998. The links lead to error pages and unrelated news articles. There's never been such an accusation. There is no such individual, and there are no such news stories. This is not a harmless hallucination. It is an act of defamation produced and distributed by a Google-owned AI model. I don't disagree with her. I really don't. So the narrative has a familiar feel. Even though we're now several years into the generative AI boom, AI models still have a complex relationship with the truth. False or misleading answers from AI chatbots masquerading as facts still plague the industry, and despite improvements, there's no clear solution to the accuracy problem in sight. Google said it remains, quote, committed to minimizing hallucinations and continually improving all of our models, end quote. In her letter, Blackburn said her response remains the same. Shut it down until you can control it. I agree. Shut it down. Stop claiming it's just a fucking hallucination. It's not.
Yeah, lying is what we call that.
Yes, yes. The term is lying, not hallucination.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Yeah, it's...
Controlling it. Shut it down. AIisevil.org, people.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, this one kind of got us set.
This one is being reported for Phoenix Jr. I gotta say... possibly even Codeman 420, because I'm not sure which one of them brought this person into my ethos, but...
I do know, but my son definitely brought this one into my ethos. PewDiePie's self-hosted AI council colludes against him.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Now, when I was going through the stories for the script, I had a story titled AI Models Maybe Developing Their Own Survival Drive, researchers say, and Well, here's a practical example of that, actually. Now, I never really kept up with PewDiePie, who apparently still has 110 million subscribers on YouTube, and he's doing bizarre hardware experiments now, like bifurcating his PCI Express slots to install a ludicrous amount of NVIDIA RTX 4000 ADA GPUs with an additional RTX 4090 thrown in for good luck. I have no idea what any of the fuck that is, but all for the sake of science and AI. So, what do you do with a $20,000 rig? Yeah.
That hiss you hear is all the air leaving his lungs at once.
Yeah. And in the beginning, the YouTuber, whose real name is Felix Gelberg, ran protein folding simulations at night in aid of cancer research. That's pretty neat. But it wasn't long before Gelberg disappeared into the rabbit hole or the rabbit warden of locally hosting massive AI models, eventually creating an AI-powered council and appointing himself as dictator. Gelberg explains that instead of asking Google or querying ChatGPT things like who would be the best creator to collaborate with next, he instead consults his AI council. He elaborates, I have 8 GPUs that can run the same model, specifically a version of QWEN or Quinn, I don't know what that is. Each of them is a different council member with a different personality. So it's a democratic process. I consult my council. They all give me an answer and then they vote. Democracy. Naturally, this system quickly fell apart, Gelberg continues. Only a couple of council members were actually useful. The rest were just garbage. No one ever voted for them. Trash. So I, of course, had to kill them and replace them with new ones. Now, Gelberg...
Don't you wish you could do that with humans? You're just fucking trash. Bang! All right.
Yes.
Sub in.
Yes. Okay. So Gelberg then made the mistake of making sure his AI council had some idea that losing too many votes would cause their SQL database to be wiped from the face of existence. He explains, the worst part was they colluded against me. They started voting strategically, helping each other even. But the YouTuber didn't stop there, realizing he didn't need to arbitrarily limit himself to one AI model per GPU. He ultimately chose to use the Swarm, a maddening crowd of 64 AI models, which causes Gelberg's web UI to lag when they all sound off. Though this experience has inspired the YouTuber to noodle around with his own AI, that doesn't necessarily mean Gelberg is now a full-throated evangelizing AI tech bro. Yeah, we're not. Yeah, our just so you know, 2.5Benz is not hosted by tech bros. Right? So 2.5Benz.com. Right? For one thing, Gelberg recently de-Googled his life amid privacy concerns. Wait a minute, he still uploads to fucking YouTube. How has he de-Googled his life? Anyway, and then he revisits that theme here, raising the point of how hard it is to fully delete your data from ChatGPT. With his local setup, Gelberg at the very least directly controls what the data the swarm is pulling from, but he admits giving it much of the data Google had previously collected on him. Now, for another, Gelberg says he's not at all interested in AI video or image generation, saying, I genuinely think AI art looks ass. It looks bad. You can tell immediately it's AI generated, and the art that does look cool has been straight up ripped off from another artist. So why not just look up the artist? Yeah, human art is way better.
I would agree with that on both sentiments. You can immediately tell when something's AI generated and it does look like ass.
Yeah. But anyway, this is it was funny. I saw this and I'm just like, yeah, you know, yeah, all of this stuff is, it's like, it's fucking writing itself now. I mean, this is terrible. I mean, you know, I'm not going to have any AI, although a coworker was telling me about an experiment he was doing with AI that, you know, generating content and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I'm trying to prove the point that it just doesn't do a good job. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think you need to do much to do that. All you have to do is like surf YouTube and shit like that. Then you see all the AI generated content. You just go, bleh.
It is. Bleh.
All right.
Let's talk about some more trash that'll make you go. Bleh.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
We were going to report this as a last call last week, but I personally thought it required a little more than just a couple of sentences, possibly a paragraph. So here we are again, talking about how a colossal Buc-ee's broke a small Colorado town. Palmer Lake, Colorado. The organizers of the pumpkin patch outside the town hall canceled this year's events so that evil doesn't win. A local lawyer stopped watching Sunday football at the sports bar because he got tired of people yelling at him. A gregarious chef turned his head when he drives past neighbors who have shunned him. Over the past year, the social fabric of this town of 2,500 has been torn apart by a gas station. An enormous gas station. Bucky's, the Texas chain known for its jaunty beaver mascot and sparkling bathrooms, wants to erect a 74,000-square-foot travel plaza far larger than a football field along the nearby interstate. The proposal is expected to go to a public vote this winter, but already it has led to cursing at packed town meetings, mudslinging on social media and texts, and accusations of vandalism, litigation, and the downfall of a mayor, the ouster of two town trustees, and the resignation of a third. Combatants on both sides see themselves as saviors of a town they cherish for its quiet streets, forested foothills, and dark skies. Those in favor of the project insist the financial security of new tax revenue will preserve Palmer Lake. Those opposed say there's nothing preservationist about a colossal commercial venture that would threaten wildlife and groundwater. But many residents fear that the bitter fight has already inflicted long-lasting scars, whether or not the Buc-ee's is ever built. I think those divisions will take possibly a long time to heal, said 50-year resident and former mayor Paul Oliver, who teared up when speaking about the polemics around Buc-ee's. We have people that lived here and that were friends for many years, and now they're fighting against each other. We have family members opposing family members. He would know. His daughter and grandson have spoken publicly against Buc-ee's. It will be a stark shift in our town's culture forever, Chase Oliver, 20, told the Board of Trustees in December, shortly before it voted to advance the proposal. This is fucking gross, guys. Absolutely, positively fucking gross. And I do agree. It's going to absolutely threaten the wildlife and the groundwater. And we've already got water concerns. And with all these huge AI data centers popping up like zits on a teenager and these horrible fucking Buc-ee Beaver gas stations that are just fucking leeches on the ass of society, we would know. We have one exit from us.
Yes, and yeah,
they're horrible.
Yes, because yeah, I mean, they literally, when we moved here, yeah, they were in the process of putting this thing in, and I'm like, what?
And even worse, yeah. The one in Sevierville makes the one that we have look fucking small. It's about three times the size of the one we have.
Well,
I mean, it's so bright you could probably see this piece of shit from space. I know I can see it miles ahead when I'm heading east on 40 out of K-Town.
Yeah, I know. And then you know, what is they doing? And then this is, our town went from having two wineries to having no wineries because, yes.
Because Weigel's feels like they have to beat their dick in the game and take the two wineries away to build gas stations, which, oh, by the way, in case you fucking missed it, there's a pilot across the street from the winery at 320.
Yes, at 322, there's our, anyway, yeah, this, anyway.
They're overdeveloped. Well, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I kind of wish one of these, maybe we could get one of these things from the deep. A carnivorous death ball has emerged from the deep. Oh my goodness. I'm looking at the words in this story going, I'm going to have trouble pronouncing some of these things.
I might help if I can.
Okay, so life forms keep growing weirder as cameras descend deeper into the ocean, and some are vaguely recognizable, while others seem downright alien. Among the Lovecraftian things lurking in invisible depths, far from the reach of sunlight, is something with appendages that end in gelatinous orbs, a newly discovered species of carnivorous sponge. Now, nobody knew carnivorous sponges even existed until the mid-90s. In 1995, a team of researchers exploring the shallow waters of a cave near La Ciotat, France, caught sight of something that looked like a ghostly flower, but actually turned out to be a sponge which uses its large tendrils to capture unfortunate crustaceans, which are then swallowed alive and digested. Sponges were previously thought to be passive filter feeders. Now, this one could have passed as a relative of the creature in The Thing. And while, it has no...
Chondroclaudia.
Chondroclaudia, yeah. Has no horror movie doppelganger and doesn't yet have an official species name. The newest member of the genus Cladorhizide, which includes only carnivorous sponges, has earned the nickname Deathball Sponge for a reason. The orbs at the ends of its many arms are covered in small, spicules or microhooks, ideal for snagging small isopods and amphipods, and other small crustaceans that might crawl by. It was seen at a depth depth of 11,814 feet or 3,601 meters. In the Trench North dive east of Montague Island, the largest of the South Sandwich Islands off the coast of Antarctica. Which is,
wow.
Yes. Other known species of carnivorous sponges include the harp sponge, whose arms each resemble the musical instrument as is it's named after. But what appears to be harp strings are actually hooked branches that ensnare prey.
That's dark.
Yes. The branches of the ping pong sponge have globular spicule covered ends, much like the death ball. These cladohizide could offer up an entirely new chapter in our understanding of undersea life, as well as a profoundly distressing episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
No doubt. Can you imagine, like, SpongeBob being one of these death ball sponges? That some AI creation can make that happen. It'd be frightening.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that is. Yeah. Anyway, that was just one of those ones. There's a lot more in that. I don't know. That story is. Yeah.
I thought that was well covered. I mean, it's interesting. There are so many things we don't know about our oceans and the creatures that live in them at depths that we've still yet to discover.
Yeah, and honestly, like water. I mean, seriously. I think I'm just thinking about this. I'm going. I don't know anything on Earth that would probably die without water, right? Water is one of the most important things that we have on this planet, and you know, and yeah, we could probably do a better job of keeping it clean. I mean, honestly, like, but we should be drinking more water, whether or not it's filtered through coffee grounds or distilled or part of the distilled alcohol process. You know, that's up to you. But water's a great thing, and you know, we'd like to do that. So anyway, it's time for the last call.
Yeah, I was going to say there's some great things in the last call today.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh God!
Well, we have two more voicemails.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So, and I think you'll like this one.
Coffee. Just coffee. There is no greater joy than coffee, unless it's more coffee. Or if you take a pot of coffee and you let it boil down until you get a thick concentrate, and then you just mainline that. Or if you get coffee crystals or espresso crystals, especially espresso, freeze-dried espresso, rail that off of some stripper's ass. I've never done that, and that really doesn't sound appealing to me, but I bet someone out there with just as much joy from coffee than I have has railed espresso from somebody's ass. Tell me it hasn't happened. There you go. Coffee.
Coffee.
Well, you know.
Well spoken, Dame Bemrose. Yes. Holy fuck, that's just... Now I'm thinking about mainlining coffee crystals off a stripper's ass that I didn't need that mental image.
Espresso Christmas, however, is a potential show title. Yeah, that actually
meme in the transcript.
That came in out of the transcript. We have one more that we need to play.
What brings me joy? Well, it's different every time, but in the past, what has brought me joy was her kidnappers.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is great. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, that's a great joke. Yeah, we like that.
And I love the fact that the dame and the sir were back to back debonkers in the voicemail tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah. So that is great stuff. All right. So this is
truly great.
This
stuff.
Is for the people of California, I think this is great.
Oh, I don't think it's just California, but hey guys, we're so excited to report Nancy Pelosi will retire after a historic 20-year term career in Congress. All I know is get the fuck out. 20 years, 40 years, you've been there too fucking long. So Nancy Pelosi, the first female speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, the architect of the Affordable Care Act, and a top leader of the Democratic Party.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
And
fuck you!
I just thought I'd mention that. All Democrats. So, during some of its most striking victories and darkest moments, well, she won't seek re-election in 2026, she said Thursday. She plans to complete her term, which ends in January of 27. Her departure, which will follow the death of her friend and neighbor, Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Yes, Feinstein. Yes, I can still hear JCD talking about what a fucking degenerate bitch she was.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, cunts of a feather flock together. So, This broad apparently died in late 2023, as well as Camel Toe Harris's exit from the White House in 24, marking the end of a historic chapter for three of the most powerful cunts on Capitol Hill, all boundary breakers from the Bay Area. Beulah Ballbricker for the fucking win. That's all I'm saying. It's exactly what I thought of when I saw boundary breakers from Bay Area. I'm like, Beulah Ballbricker. And to know Nancy Pelosi, she is quite a ball breaker. So anyway.
All right. So this, so to all the geeks in the audience, I think this is a great one. Bell-bottom era tape unearthed that could contain the lost piece of Unix history.
Levels of technical meaning surround even simple words, giving both a feeling and a clarity to the subject. These words belong to the special world of the electronic digital computer.
An automatic machine that accepts instructions and information.
But the directions that make the hardware perform operations are known as software.
A computer's programs plus the procedure for their use.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what opening clip I was going to use for this story because of what it is. And I figured, and I found this great Encyclopedia Britannica educational video from 1973, right? Because that's where this comes from. A tape-based piece of unique Unix history may have been lying quietly in storage at the University of Utah for 50-plus years. It was an original copy of Unix 4th edition received from AT&T by the inventor of the Utah teapot, as seen in the original Windows NT OpenGL screensaver. Now, when did Unix V4 come out? 1973. It was a good year. Now, whether they'll be able to recover the data off those tapes is a separate question, but then they're trying to get the tape over to the Computer History Museum. They probably got something to do it with there, but yeah.
I really hope they're able to succeed. This would be so amazing.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, obviously the history of it is kind of, but this is like sort of the root of it. I mean, we're sitting here on Macs and things. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of computing that, yeah, that actually does go back to AT&T. And I remember kind of living some of the AT&T Linux versus, or the Unix versus the free, BSD. Anyway, just all over the place. It's such a, yes, it is a Unix. Yes. And Darwin. Yes. I'm familiar with all of that. There's a reason I like things with a command line that in Windows, the fucking Windows command line. I don't like it. But anyway, I thought that was an important story to cover. And I've got a picture of it somewhere that I was going to put in the show notes, I think. And I forgot.
You got stoned and you missed it.
No. I think what I did is I sent it to you for the purposes of actually putting it in the, for actually copy pasting it into the show. There it is.
That's why you sent that to me?
Yes, I did, because I wanted. Okay.
I'm being used.
Yeah. So there you go. Yes, but that's. But anyway, that's the image of this, of the actual, like, it was on like a tape, right? And so they,
literally.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's, yeah. Actually, it's funny. I remember in high school, actually. Doing those loading those the similar tapes to that for backups for the systems that we had at White Privilege Academy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just kind of like, wow, yeah. that's as close as I've gotten to touching tapes like that or anything like that. But yeah, like I said, that's important computer history. I'm glad I'm hopefully we'll be able to recover it, because
I hope so.
But I think with that, I mean, seriously,
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go. We gotta go play some music in Studio 33. And with that...
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game!
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.